The book of Luke, chapter number 22. Isn't it good to know that God does care for us? It is exciting to be able to see Him bless in ways that we would never even imagine. Sometimes we go through some dark, deep valleys and you're wondering, where is God? And sometimes those valleys are a long ways from one side to the other. And yet, when you've gone through, sometimes even when you're in the midst of it, God shows you His presence. He was there all along, but sometimes we just don't recognize it and how glorious He is to facilitate all that is in our lives. I want to speak to you tonight about thanksgiving. I want you to notice here in chapter 22 of the book of Luke, I'm going to begin reading verse number, I think I'll start in verse 7, and we're going to read down here just a little bit. This is the story of what we might call the first communion, the Lord's table. In verse number 7, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto Him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And He said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your wondrous grace that's been extended to us. I pray, Father, that you would help us tonight to realize the tremendous importance of giving thanks. Lord, giving thanks to you. Lord, help us to see the glorifying marks that it brings to your name. Bless them this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. I want you to think about this scripture and its background for just a moment, please. If I have any more problem over here, I'm going to split you guys up. I want you to pay attention. Okay? That's why we're here. That's the way to do it. All right. Thank you. We find the Lord Jesus Christ is about to face the greatest trial of His life. The Lord Jesus is about to go to the cross of Calvary. We find that not very many minutes, really, from this time, the Lord Jesus Christ will be in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And such fervency, the Bible tells us that He sweats great drops of blood. It's a time the Lord prays and asks God to remove this cup from Him. But an interesting statement that He makes when He says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." As He is seeking for God's will to take place. So He's facing something horrendous. This cup, this bread that He is now going to break and they are going to drink, is representative of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that these elements of the communion or the Lord's table, they are representative, they are memorial, if you please, of His crucifixion. They are that which really reveals to us. And as we take of that together, He wants us to remember. In other words, a memorial. And so as He is partaking of this with the disciples, before the event even happens, we find the Lord Jesus praying. And it says He took bread, and what did He do? He gave thanks. I don't know about you, but that's incredible. He gave thanks. That which is a memorial to what is going to take place, He is giving thanks. The awful situation that is here upon bearing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet He is thankful. Thankful to God. He gives thanks. Thankfulness is most generally thought of as an attitude of indebtedness to someone. Somebody has done something, and it has been a help to us, and we thank them. And we are expressing to them our gratitude for what they have done. All too often in our lives, we feel like that others are indebted to us. Isn't that true? So often we feel like this guy and that guy and this gal and this one and the other one, they owe us something. But when the truth is really known, if we would be like the Apostle Paul, we would express it this way. In Romans chapter number 1, verse 14, Paul said this, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." He said, nobody owes me, I owe them. And he has that kind of an attitude. In 2 Corinthians, he says this in chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Paul's a man of thankfulness. And that thankfulness was because he had this heart that realized that he was in debt to God and really to his fellow men. As I look at the New Testament, I find that there are four or five things that really reveal to us thankfulness. I mean, they demonstrate to us what thankfulness ought to bring about. First one I'd like for us to look at, if you turn to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to read just two verses. In verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 says, "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that through the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." Now think about that for a moment. Here he's talking about what God is going to do for us, that through thanksgiving, many may redound to the glory of God. If there's something that will come about as a result of our thankfulness, it is a bringing glory unto God. In the book of Luke chapter 17, I'll not turn there, but in that book you remember there's a story of 10 lepers that were healed. We find that they believed because God told them to go show themselves to the priest. They all went. But there was only one that returned. He happened to be a Samaritan. And in returning, we find that he gave God the glory. Jesus wonders about the other nine. But it's to God that gets that glory as a result of He coming back with a thankful heart. When somebody expresses gratitude to an individual, it's bringing glory to that individual. When you and I express our appreciation to God, it is bringing glory to God. It is in that expression to those who hear it and in our own hearts and minds revealing our tremendous appreciation of what He has done in our lives. So we find that thankfulness is going to demonstrate glory to God. I believe also that thankfulness reveals that you have a fullness of the Spirit. We've dealt with this on a couple of occasions. You turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, and chapter number 5. We find in verse number 18, I believe it is, it says in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." So here's the command, be filled with the Spirit. Now you notice there's a semicolon there, so the sentence continues. He says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, if I understand this right, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring a song to our hearts. Okay? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the fruit of joy and we have the fullness of the Spirit, doesn't it seem like to you that we're going to have a lot of joy? And in that joy, there's going to be a song that comes forth. Isn't it wonderful when you're maybe on the job, you hear there, and you know there's a spiritual song that just comes in your heart. I mean, you can go through some horrible situations, and that song is right there in your heart. But notice next in verse number 20, because this is another result, I believe, of the Spirit of God in His fullness. He says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," and giving thanks. So, what does thankfulness do? Well, it demonstrates glory to God, but it also demonstrates that the Spirit of God has a fullness in our lives. And how you and I, when we're walking in the Spirit of God, there's going to be that spirit of thankfulness. It's going to be there. People are not walking in the Spirit of God, they're walking in the flesh. They're wanting everything to go their way rather than God's way. And by the way, if you notice, they don't very often do that. And so we're walking not in joy of God, but we're walking in the misery of self. And thankfulness is not really a part of our lives. Complaining becomes a part of our lives in those cases. And we find that that is not bringing any glory to God at all. But we find there the glory to God, the fullness of the Spirit. I believe also we find that thankfulness demonstrates that we've got some prayer life. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." When you and I are praying to the Lord, we got a good prayer life. It's going to be with thanksgiving. Prayer is asking, but prayer is also saying thank you. It is being expressive in those kinds of things. A thankful spirit is going to reveal an attitude that isn't desirous of things. Book of James, he says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not." And he says, "And ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." Why? Because you want to consume it upon your lust. And a person with a thankful spirit is not one who is lustful. They're just thankful for what's there and what they do have. Have you ever noticed when you're really wanting something, you're not really thankful for what you do have? Have you ever gotten a new car bug? You just need another car. I mean, you want another car. I've been in this spot, and that's why I use this particular one. You can taste it. It consumes your thoughts. And you're not even thankful for the one you have. It's getting you around. You're going from point A to point B. You say, well, it's not going as fast as I'd like to. It's not quite as fancy as I'd like to. But it's getting you there. And we find ourselves not very content or thankful for it. Why? Because we have this tremendous desire down inside for something else. And it's not a, we're not really in the matter of prayer in this thing. We're in a mode of lust and desire that is outside the bounds of God. What does thankfulness show? It shows a prayer life. I think also, and just kind of briefly on this, but it shows us to be mission-minded. Consider this verse in 2 Corinthians. Verse 9 says, "For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." He's talking there about as they bring the finances in and they give them out and it goes to the different missionaries and the different people who are receiving it, how that administration to them, that's a blessing to them. But he also says this, is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I have learned that those who give have a tremendous appreciation of how God blessed them to be able to have a part in somebody else's life. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, what a blessing it was that I had something to give to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's a tremendous thought. Thanksgiving, what a wonderful thing it is. I want to stop and think about something that I'm just very thankful for. I look at the Word of God and I see it written so many times, and there's expressions made over and over about the creative ability of God. Now, I can take things and I can make some things. You give me some clay, I'll tell you what, I can make a snake. I can get that stuff hot and I can roll that stuff out. I can make me a snake and I can curl that little thing up. And you know, some people, they can take and they can mold some nice things. I mean, people can take clay and put it on a potter's wheel and they can make a nice, beautiful vase. And they can take the paint to it and put it in the fire and harden that thing up. I mean, you can use that thing. I don't do that. I've done some work with wood. I enjoy making things out of, building buildings, doing things of that nature. I've always admired people who could work with steel and iron and metals and be able to weld them together and to build things in that nature. It was a tremendous privilege for 3 years to work at Pontiac Motors and to watch the assembly lines and how all those different parts would come together. And when they all got put together, somebody turned a key and drive the thing off. And it was just always amazing to see that thing take place. I was at the front of that line and then to be able to walk to the back of that and to see that take place and to all the things that took place in between and to be a part of making something. But God made everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. And His creative ability just absolutely astounds me. I think about Him making man. We are wonderfully put together, we find in the book of Psalms. God created us in a wonderful fashion. I mean, these bodies of ours, they will heal themselves. The body was actually made by God to live forever, to self-sustain forever. That's the way God made it. Sin destroyed that ability, but that's the way it was made. Today we spend 1/8 of our economy, and soon to go probably to 1/4 if they keep messing with it, trying to keep people healthy. We try to do that, and we have some success, but only because God allows it. I appreciate when you have a physician that will say to you, I'm not a healer. I'm a facilitator. God's the healer. I can diagnose, I can recommend treatments, but I can't do any healing. That's God's business. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis for a moment with me, please. Book of Genesis. I have two purposes in what I'm about to say in the next few minutes. I think that those probably come through in a few minutes too. If you notice in verse number 26, and God said, let us make man. Oh, chapter 1, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I just assume you know what I'm thinking. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him. male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Wow. First of all, God said, let's make man in our own image. And we know from Scripture that God is spirit. So we're not talking about a physical likeness, though we do know that God came in the form of flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the image that we have of God, which is the spiritual portion of man, the inner being of man. It's interesting because we find that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And man is really three in one, too. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. Isn't that true? And we have all of it makes up the entire individual. When the body dies, the soul doesn't. Because it's made in the image of God, it's going to live for eternity. The spirit, because of sin, is described as dead. It needs to be enlivened. That's what the new birth is about. He says, we must be born again. And so we have these three parts to us. We are in His image. We have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to build, to accomplish. All of this because we're made in the image of God. We also notice that God made us in two genders. I don't like to use the word sexes there. I get tired of that word. But God made us male and female. Okay? And there's a reason for that. Okay? The reason for that is stated right here in our text. And that is that we might reproduce. God made us for that purpose of reproducing. By the way, God did not make Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Okay? There is no way in this world that you can justify man with man. There's no way you can justify that. The Bible says in the book of Romans that is deplorable. And it is an end result of much sin. You say, do you have homophobia? No. Do you hate homosexuals? No. No. I don't like homosexualism. I don't hate drunkards. But I hate what it does. Isn't that true? I mean, there's many things in life that everybody somewhere along the line does that is wrong. So that doesn't mean we hate the person. I will talk about Catholicism being wrong because it is. Does that mean you hate Catholics? No. 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 Matter of fact, you want to see folks who are religious come to know Christ their Savior. Amen. I mean, that's a desire, really. But God says we're made in His image, and He made us male and female. And the purpose of that is that we might multiply. Man with man or woman with woman cannot multiply. It is impossible. And it is wrong. Just plain, plain wrong. He said, well, that's not politically correct. Ask me if I care. There's a lot of things that are not politically correct that are wrong. Amen? It's plain wrong. And so I'm thankful that God made us that way. I'm thankful that God made us that we can enjoy, a husband and a wife, each other's company. Amen. I'm glad that God made things the way He did. Being thankful for that. Amen. I've seen oh my goodness, did I forget the number of years? 46? Am I in the right ballpark?
There's so many I get mixed up.
Am I right? 46? Shake your head, do something. Okay, I'm right. And I'm in trouble for even asking. Seriously, praise God for whom all blessings flow. There's things we ought to be thankful for. And I'm thankful that God created us the way He did. I'm glad God made this world the way He did. You ever stop and study it a little bit and some of the things that are just so phenomenal? I mean, it's incredible. Do you know that God made this world without any death and dying? Do you know that evolution is impossible biblically? There could not be thousands of years. You see, the Bible says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. There was no death until then. No death. Animals didn't die and progress and die and get better and better. By the way, death doesn't show progression. You ever thought about that? Death is cessation. It's not getting better. By the way, have you noticed that you're not getting any better? As you get older, what happens? I'm looking straight back at Dallas. I'm seeing this nice gray beard sitting here. And I remember when Dallas had as much hair on top of his head as he got all over now. And been around here a long time. And thank the Lord for his friendship. But things change, don't they, through time? Yeah. And there's things that you can't do that you used to do. I don't know what, but I'm sure that's true. I don't know where I was at today somewhere, and somebody said, well, you're sure walking mighty slow. I said, no, that's pretty normal. Just kind of the way it is. You know, well, we get the age of Tony, and we think, man, we are invincible. Man, I'm at the peak of my game. No, you're already falling apart. You just don't know it yet. And it comes, you know. You know, we just look at ourselves. Evolution is, it don't work. God made us. Death came as a result of our sin. First thing that ever died was an animal for our sins. Isn't that incredible? And since that time, why, death has prevailed upon all. Even God's creation has to go through it because of our sin. But aren't you thankful also that Jesus Christ came to do what? To die for our sin. To die for our sin. Yeah. Anybody here 17? How old are you? Huh? You're 18? The altar will be open later, Rich, for repentance. 17. I read a guy this week. He says, I plan on being a teenager again, 113. I may be wrong on my age. One of the first funerals I ever had, not my first. First funeral I ever had was a man who had died in a truck accident. It was a closed casket. He'd been horribly, horribly. I'd never known him. And as a result of it, by the way, I got to lead his mama to Christ, an older lady, and many, many years ago. But way back in those days, one of the very first funerals I ever had was a young man 17 years of age. I remember going to the funeral home. At that time, it was called McCurdy's. There was well over 300 young people sitting there that day, as I had the privilege to preach the gospel to them. You know what I learned that day? Actually, the day before, a few days before, I learned how he died. You're a twin. This kid was too. But nobody ever knew it. His twin got embedded in his brain. And when he got in his teenage years, began to grow. They discovered it was actually small, what we'd use the word fetus, baby. They determined it to be his twin. And as a result of that, and removal of it, and the complications through it, he died. 17 years age. What's that say? Evolving? No. Thank God that Jesus died for us. Amen. To my knowledge, that kid accepted Christ as Savior, and it means he's in glory today. Thank God for Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. If there's something. Brother, when you said a while ago, thank the Lord for my Savior, there is no greater testimony. Thank God for that. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us. Lord, I pray that you might help us, O God, to be more appreciative, to realize that in our appreciation, our thankfulness, we're bringing glory to your name. We're honoring you to ourselves, to those who hear us. Lord, we pray that you would certainly have all that's due to your name. Bless, we pray, each one here tonight. We ask, O God, that this Thanksgiving might be truly a Thanksgiving. As we consider your great gift to us, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.